Then, having done all he could, he went back to the courts, very spent. And he sat down at his table, and he wished for a slave to bring him tea, and for another to bring him a towel dipped and wrung from steaming water to wipe his face. But though he clapped his hands, none came. No one heeded him. And there was running to and fro, but he dared to stop no one to ask what sort of a child had been born, or even if any had been born. He sat there dusty and spent, and no one spoke to him. Then at last, when it seemed to him it must soon be night, so long he had waited, Lotus came in, waddling upon her small feet because of her great weight, and leaning upon Koku, and she laughed and said loudly, "Well, and there is a son in the house of your son, and both mother and son are alive. I have seen the child, and it's fair and sound." Then Wang Lung laughed also, and he rose, and he slapped his hands together, and laughed again, and he said, "Well, and I have been sitting here like a man with his own first son coming, and not knowing what to do of this and that, and afraid of everything." And then when Lotus had gone on to her room, and he sat again, he fell to musing, and he thought to himself, "Well, and I didn't feel like this when that other one bore her first, my son." And he sat silent and musing, and he remembered within himself that day, and how she had gone alone into the small, dark room, and how alone she had borne him sons and again sons and daughters, and she bore them silently, and how she had come to the fields and worked beside him again. And here was this one, now the wife of his son, who cried like a child with her pains, and who had all the slaves running in the house, and her husband there by her door. And he remembered, as one remembers a dream long past, how Olan rested from her work a little while, and fed the child richly, and the white, rich milk ran out of her breast and spilled upon the ground. And this seemed too long past ever to have been. Then his son came in smiling and important, and he said loudly, "The man-child is born, my father, and now we must find a woman to nurse him with her breasts, for I will not have my wife's beauty spoiled with the nursing and her strength sapped with it. None of the women of position in the town do so." And Wang Lung said sadly, although why he was sad he didn't know, "Well, and if it must be so, let it be so. If she can't nurse her own child." When the child was a month old, Wang Lung's son, its father, gave the birth feasts, and to it he invited guests from the town, and his wife's father and mother, and all the great of the town. And he had dyed scarlet many hundreds of hen's eggs, and these he gave to every guest, and to any who sent guests. And there was feasting and joy through the house, for the child was a goodly fat boy, and he had passed his 10th day and lived, and this was a fear gone, and they all rejoiced. And when the birth feast was over, Wang Lung's son came to his father, and he said, "Now that there are the 3 generations in this house, we should have the tablets of ancestors that great families have, and we should set the tablets up to be worshipped at the feast days, for we are an established family now." This pleased Wang Lung greatly, and so he ordered it, and so it was carried out. And there, in the great hall, the row of tablets was set up, his grandfather's name on one, and then his father's, and the spaces left empty for Wang Lung's name and his son's when they should die. And Wang Lung's son bought an incense urn and set it before the tablets. When this was finished, Wang Lung remembered the red robe he had promised the Goddess of Mercy, and so he went to the temple to give the money for it. And then on his way back, as if the gods can't bear to give freely and not hide sting somewhere in the gift, one came running from the harvest fields to tell him that Ching lay dying suddenly, and had asked if Wang Lung would come to see him die. Wang Lung, hearing the panting runner, cried angrily, "Now I suppose that accursed pair in the temple are jealous because I gave a red robe to a town goddess, and I suppose they don't know they have no power over childbirth and only over land." And although his noon meal stood ready for him to eat, he wouldn't take up his chopsticks, although Lotus called loudly to him to wait until after the evening sun came. He wouldn't stay for her, and he went out. Then when Lotus saw he didn't heed her, she sent a slave after him with an umbrella of oiled paper. But so fast did Wang Lung run that the stout maid had difficulty in holding the umbrella over his head. Wang Lung went at once to the room where Ching had been laid, and he called out loudly to anyone, "Now how did all this come about?" The room was full of laborers crowding about, and they answered in confusion and haste, "He would work himself at the threshing. We told him not at his age. There was a laborer who was newly hired. He could not hold the flail rightly, and Ching would show him. It is labor too hard for an old man." Then Wang Lung called out in a terrible voice, "Bring me this laborer." And they pushed the man in front before Wang Lung. And he stood there trembling, in his bare knees knocking together, a great, ruddy, coarse country lad with his teeth sticking out in a shelf over his lower lip, and round, dull eyes like an ox's eyes. But Wang Lung had no pity on him. He slapped the lad on both his cheeks, and he took the umbrella from the slave's hand, and he beat the lad about the head, and none dared stop him, lest his anger go into his blood and at his age poison him. And the bumpkin stood it humbly, blubbering a little and sucking his teeth. Then Ching moaned from the bed where he lay, and Wang Lung threw down the umbrella, and he cried out, "Now this one will die while I'm beating a fool." And he sat down beside Ching and took his hand and held it. And it was as light and dry and small as a withered oak leaf. And it wasn't possible to believe that any blood ran through it, so dry and light and hot it was. But Ching's face, which was pale and yellow every day, was now dark and spotted with his scanty blood, and his half-opened eyes were filmed and blind, and his breath came in gusts. Wang Lung leaned down to him and said loudly in his ear, "Here am I, and I will buy you a coffin, second to my father's only." But Ching's ear were filled with his blood, and if he heard Wang Lung, he made no sign. But he only lay there panting and dying. And so he died. When he was dead, Wang Lung leaned over him, and he wept as he had not wept when his own father died. And he ordered a coffin of the best kind, and he hired priests for the funeral, and he walked behind wearing white mourning. He made his eldest son even wear white bands on his ankles as though a relative had died, although his son complained and said, "He was only an upper servant, and it's not suitable so to mourn for a servant." But Wang Lung compelled him for 3 days. And if Wang Lung had had his way wholly, he would have buried Ching inside the earthen wall where his father and O Lan were buried. But his sons wouldn't have it, and they complained and said, "Shall our mother and grandfather lie with a servant? And must we also in our time?" Then Wang Lung, because he couldn't contend with them and because at his age he would have peace in his house, buried Ching at the entrance to the wall. And he was comforted with what he had done. And he said, "Well, and it is meet, for he has ever stood guardian to me against evil." And he directed his sons that when he himself died he should lie nearest to Ching. Then, less than ever, did Wang Lung go to see his lands. Because now Ching was gone, it stabbed him to go alone, and he was weary of labor, and his bones ached when he walked over the rough fields alone. So he rented out all his land that he could, and men took it eagerly, for it was known to be good land. but Wang Lung would never talk of selling a foot of any piece. And he would only rent it for an agreed price for a year at a time. Thus he felt it all his own and still in his hand. And he appointed one of the laborers and his wife and children to live in the country house and to care for the two old opium dreamers. Then seeing his youngest son's wistful eyes, he said, "Well, then you may come with me into the town, and I will take my fool with me too, and she can live in my court where I am. It's too lonely for you now that Ching is gone. And with him gone, I'm not sure that they will be kind to the poor fool, seeing there will be none to tell if she is beaten or ill-fed. And there is no one now to teach you concerning the land now that Ching is gone." So Wang Lung took his youngest son and his fool with him. And thereafter he came scarcely at all for a long time to the house on his land.
This ends Disc 9.